So hi, as Shane said, my name is Laura Reese. I am also in the Mark Van Aerselt Lab at the University of Georgia. And today I'll be presenting on the effects of varying light intensity on water use efficiency. So you may be wondering why water? Water is, of course, a limited resource. We probably notice that more here in Las Vegas than we do other places. So if the big brown ball is the volume of the Earth, the blue ball you see there is all of the water on Earth. That's the volume comparison. The next smallest one is all of the fresh water on Earth. And those of you in the back may not be able to see it, but there's a tinier little blue ball there, and that's the volume of all the rivers and lakes on Earth. And so you see from that, water really is fairly limited here. Even though we think of the planet as having a lot of water, there really isn't a ton of it. And so that's probably one of the reasons why water prices have been increasing in developed countries, and even more so in many other countries than in the U.S. Because in the U.S., I mean, we actually, not here in Las Vegas, but in many parts of the U.S., we actually have a fair amount of water compared to places in the Middle East, even to places in China. And so the other thing about water use and water availability is that water prices in the U.S. are often higher for non-agricultural uses, which, of course, that doesn't matter too much if you're a lettuce grower in California who has gigantic fields that you get to irrigate at a reduced cost. But if you're an indoor agricultural grower and you're growing in a vertical farm in a city like in New Jersey, then you have to pay a non-agricultural use price for like industrial water, basically, and you're paying that higher price. So if you're in a vertical grower, even just in general, you want to save water. But too much water will also cause you problems. So I think there's already been a lot of talks today on vertical farming and in plant factories. One of the major uses and one of the major costs in these systems is HVAC costs. And these are to remove water from the air as well as to heat and cool it. And the reason that there would be a lot of water in the air in these systems is that plants transpire. So this picture is from northern Pennsylvania, which is one of the least populated areas on the East Coast. There really aren't a whole lot of people living there, so there's not a lot of haze from driving. There's not a lot of industry there. So all of the haze in this picture is pretty much from plants transpiring into the air. And if you're growing in a vertical system, you have to pay to take all of that water back out of the air. So reducing transpiration means that you have a slightly reduced cost in that regard. So reducing transpiration while maintaining your yield is basically what you're measuring is water use efficiency, which is the amount of yield that you get for the amount of water that you use. And in the study that I did, I primarily looked at leaf level water use efficiency, which is the amount of photosynthesis that you're getting for the amount of transpiration. And that's on a leaf level rather than a whole plant. And in prior studies where this has been measured, they've shown that this water use efficiency reaches a maximum as you increase light intensity. And so the one on the left is for Arabidopsis, the one on the right is for rice. And you can see in Arabidopsis, it sort of reaches a maximum water use efficiency. In the rice, it's more of a strong maximum instead of an asymptote, which is in the Arabidopsis. And for both of those, they occur at slightly different light intensities. So when I saw this, I thought, well, no one's really measured this as far as I know in lettuce, and it seems to be important to know like what light intensity would give you the best water use efficiency. So my objectives in this study were to measure how water use efficiency changed with light intensity, but also how things like light spectra and CO2 concentration would affect that water use efficiency as well. And to do this, I had both lettuce and petunia. And the reason I use petunia is that it's probably one of the more common flowering plants used in controlled environment systems for research. And petunias, I use purple wave, and for lettuce, green salad bowl. And the measurements for both of these were performed on adult plants, which I raised in growth chambers. And you can see the conditions there, 24 degrees Celsius for the temperature, a 16-hour photo period at 250 micromoles. And for doing these light curves of changing the light intensity, I had to build my own LED system to make a decent light curve. And so I had a 100-watt LED chip, and that was in two different spectra, which I'll get to in the next slide. And I controlled the intensity of that light with a pulse width modulated board, which is basically a dimming control. So if you have like dimmers on your Christmas lights at home, whatever, basically the same idea. And then to control the amount of dimming, I used a microcontroller, which is an Arduino. And this allowed me to generate a light curve from 20 to 1,100 micromoles and to do that stepwise. So I mentioned that I had two different LEDs. These were warm white and cool white, and the reason that I was using this was that we thought that the light spectrum might have slightly different effects. So blue light, as most of you probably know, triggers the model opening, and far red light can potentially increase the photosynthetic efficiency by activating photosystem 1, and that's called the Emerson enhancement effect. So in the warm white, there's more far red and less blue. In the cool white, there was more blue and less far red. I also looked at potential CO2 concentration effects within the cuvette that I was measuring, and that I used two different CO2 levels at 400 and 800 parts per million. And the thought was that the higher CO2 level would lead to increased assimilation and reduce the model conductance, which would give a better water use efficiency. And I used the CIRIS-3 from PP Systems to determine the water use efficiency by measuring photosynthesis and transpiration. So my setup was, as you can see it here, and what I do is randomly select one of the lettuce or petunia plants. There were three replicates for the measurements that you'll see in the following slide. That was, each of those was an individual plant that I would take and run the measurements on, put it back. There was a 30-minute dark adaptation period after I took it out of the growth chamber and before I ran the light curve. And also, there was a 30-minute dark adaptation period between each of the light curves. And that just allows the plant to sort of reset. And so my results were for the lettuce. This is obviously, you know, what everyone has seen for light response curves. That's the assimilation for the light intensity. And that was for the warm white. This is for the cool white. As you can see, there was basically no effect at all of the spectra. But there is a fairly strong effect of the CO2 concentration on this assimilation. Increasing the CO2 definitely increased it. And these are the regression lines that I then ran. The numbers that you see on the right, those are basically where the asymptote is reached. And the two that I chose are the two that are closest together, so the highest of the 400 parts per million and the lowest of the 800 parts per million. And that will hold true on the other slides where you'll see these numbers. So for transpiration, again, there was little difference between the spectra for warm white and cool white. And once again, there was a fairly strong difference between the 400 and 800 parts per million CO2 concentrations. And so when you have a water use efficiency, that's just the assimilation of the photosynthetic rate divided by the transpiration. So as expected, there is again a strong difference between the two CO2 concentrations. And in this case, it was even stronger because you had that difference coming in from both the transpiration and the assimilation. So my conclusion from this first part with the lettuce was that CO2 concentration has a strong effect on water use efficiency in lettuce. So increasing the CO2 basically just leads to better water use efficiency because it improves assimilation and reduces transpiration. The light spectra had no effect at all, and increasing the light intensity generated an asymptotic water use efficiency curve. Pay attention to the asymptotic because that's slightly different from the petunia. So in the petunia, once again, the assimilation had that asymptotic pattern, and there was a separation between the two different CO2 concentrations and very little separation between the light spectra. That was also true in transpiration. Again, stronger separation for the CO2 concentration than for the spectra. And for the water use efficiency in petunia, it was again strongly separated based on CO2 concentration. But in this case, under the higher CO2 concentration, it had a maxima rather than an asymptote. And again, on the right-hand side, it's just that's the maximum separation and the minimum separation between the two different ones. So the water use efficiency curves in petunia differed primarily based on CO2. Once again, light spectra, no effect. But in the lower CO2, once again, it was an asymptote, but in the higher one, it was a maximum. Wanted to compare the two different species. So in this graph, rather than it being the two different spectra of light, it's the two different species. Lettuce is the green, and petunia is pink because purple wave petunias are kind of pink. And so you can see that the petunia had a lot higher of a water use efficiency in general, but for the higher CO2, it just became a superstar in terms of water use efficiency compared to the lettuce. and petunia at the lower CO2 concentration. So the water use efficiency response is species dependent. We saw that earlier in the grasses, the Arabidopsis and the rice. I saw it again with the petunia and the lettuce. So petunia generally had a much higher water use efficiency than lettuce. That held true at both CO2 concentrations. And increasing the CO2 had a much larger effect on the petunia than it did on the lettuce. But as you'll notice in the previous graph, the increasing the water use efficiency kind of had a, there was a point at which there wasn't a good return on it, and that was about 300 micromoles of light intensity. And that was for both petunia and lettuce. In the lower CO2 concentration of the petunia and in both of the concentrations of CO2 in lettuce, that was basically where the slope going up to that asymptote began to level off and it wasn't as linear. And in the higher CO2 concentration in the petunia, that was where the maximum was reached. And so this is important if you're a grower, basically, because you want to know at which point increasing your light intensity is not going to gain you any more real benefits in water use efficiency, because it costs you to increase that light intensity. The higher intensity of light, the more cooling you have to do, and the more you have to pay to run those lights. And so we have not done this yet, but one of the future directions I'd like to take is to see whether the costs in increasing that light intensity to gain a higher water use efficiency will be offset by a reduction in HVAC costs for taking the water out of the air. The second point is that CO2 enrichment is basically a cheap and simple way to increase your water use efficiency, even without increasing your light intensity. So you don't have to pay that extra cost. You can just increase the CO2. And in CO2, it actually doubles the water use efficiency in petunia. Increasing the light level does not actually do that, so you're better off increasing your CO2. However, increasing the CO2 only really increases water use efficiency in lettuce at a higher light level. So you have to put in the cost to increase the light level before the CO2 will help a whole lot. And so I would like to acknowledge the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences at the University of Georgia for supporting me in my research, and to the LAMP grant for funding me as well. Are there any questions?
Yep. Thank you very much. So most of the plants typically have a long-term anatomical adaptation to high CO2 concentrations,
mm-hmm.
and that may change results
mm-hmm.
based on that long-term adaptation. Have you considered actually growing the plants and then check for the long-term water use efficiency based on these treatments and see if there was a long-term anatomical adaptation that
mm-hmm.
negates the benefit?
Yeah, okay, the question was that plants have anatomical adaptations if they're grown at a higher CO2 level, so I have considered growing the plants at the higher CO2 level and see if the benefits still accrue. I didn't have plans for that right now, but it's definitely something I'll consider based on that knowledge.
Another question?
Yes.
It's interesting, your petunia was very different than the lettuce.
Yes.
And that must have been a surprise. Do you have any hypotheses as to why the petunia responded so much more profoundly than the lettuce?
So the question was, did I have any hypotheses of why the petunia responded so much differently than the lettuce? So I had actually thought that the petunia and lettuce might be different. What I actually expected to see was that the petunia would have a maximum at a much higher light level than the lettuce. The difference in CO2 adaptation did come as a surprise. I don't really have a hypothesis of why that would be, why they would have such a different response to CO2. I don't know enough about their histories to be able to hypothesize on that one. Are there any other questions?
I've got 30 seconds for one more quick question, if anyone has it.
Yes, the question was, have I looked at the response for stomatal conductance? And yes, I have looked at that response. It basically tracks along with transpiration. Previously, I'd actually been showing the stomatal conductance, and it's basically the same as that transpiration graph that was there.